to the Beer and Chicken Podcast.
Hey, bam, 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 bam. There you go.
For those that can see my face right now that's watching the show.
He's shaking his head in disgust.
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you.
Y'all the top two players in the league, man. You number one. You ain't supposed to pick number two.
Don't nobody want that motherfucker, man. I come telling you, dude. Like Carmelo Anthony is wild.
Man, I wonder if they had Heineken in the Garden of Eden. Boy, that's some delicious stuff, boy.
A travel is a travel.
They had some opportunities to make some plays and put some points on the board, and they blew them.
These niggas traded Russell Westbrook for Ben Simmons, and I'm like, wait, what?
You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised you ain't been doing no beer reviews or nothing, yo.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. This is episode number 43 here. And, yo, it's four of us on the screen, y'all. We got four of us here. We got the homeboy Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What's up, y'all?
Clifton came up with a whole new intro for the show. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But we got the homeboy Walt locked down up here He in the joint, man. Say what's up to the people.
What's cracking? Somebody been working over there. Cliff been working, okay?
Cliff been working.
What's up, people?
Yes, sir. And we got a special guest host here with us tonight, man. We got the homeboy Brooklyn Stacy here with us. Say what's up to the people's fam.
Yo, yo, blop, blop.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. We got four hosts on here tonight, man. We got a lot of shit to talk about, a lot of things to kind of get into. But, of course, before we get into all of that, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. And you can call the show live while we're doing this right here on Facebook. Go ahead and call the show live. Chop it up with us while we're doing the show. That area code is 313. That phone number is 288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpie.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpie.com. Of course, you can leave those emails. We'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you as well. Follow us on Twitter. My name is Mr_Span on these Twitter streets. You got the homeboy Walt Lockdown, who is Walt Lockdown on Twitter. You got Cliff, who's DJ Neff2 on these Twitter streets. And we got the homeboy Brooklyn Stacy. He's Brooklyn Stacy on Twitter too. Go ahead, follow us. Chop it up with us throughout the week. Get your sports shenanigans on as we do this all throughout the year, all throughout the week, and every goddamn day, right? And you can go to our website at www.beerandchickenpie.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and the Span Report Podcast Network. And you can go there and hit the store up, man. Grab yourself a hoodie or a t-shirt or like a coffee mug or some shit. I got one of them Yeti joints at the job, man. I want to see how it compares to the Beer and Chicken joint. You know what I'm saying? I got one of those. I want to see if it compares, man. But you can do that too. What's up?
If you watch tonight, your shirt is in the mail. They take about 3 weeks, so just look out for it.
Indeed. But also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show. If you leave less than 5 stars, kind of a hater, we might clown you. We're going to clown you. It's going to happen. But the 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. And we're going to get on with the shits, man. We're going to get on with the shits. But Stacy, brother, how you doing? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. What's been going on with you lately, brother? Hey, Stacy, can you hear me?
I think he froze.
Oh, shit.
I think it's because he got a Yankee t-shirt on.
Oh shit. Here we go.
Damn.
Oh, let me make sure I hit Stacey up because
damn.
Hey Stacey, can you hear us, man?
Man, we froze like a mug, man.
Yeah, you was froze like a motherfucker. Hey, Cliff already going in on you being a Yankees fan, bro.
You ain't gotta speak for me.
I'm speaking for you right now. I want to get
shots fired.
I want to get to the Burr. Shits. I want to get to the shits, man.
What you sipping on over there in the glass, man?
What'd you say?
I got some Shock Top Belgian White and some Shock Top Ruby Fresh Grapefruit, man. I got a couple of these going on.
I got a Blondie and some vodka. Walt, you got Bud Light Lime? You got that Bud Light Lime joint?
No, you know his is Bud Light Orange.
Thank you, Span. That's what you get for trying to be slick. Damn Cub fan. And that's for trying to jump on Stacey early in the show.
I know, right?
I got your back over here, Stacey.
What'd he say?
Oh, he was cracking.
Talking about your
You said you froze up because you was a Yankees fan, fam.
Because you was a Yankee fan.
Hey, 27 world titles, man. We got to have some joy in NY, man. The Knicks ain't doing nothing.
Oh, man. The Knicks are just like a fucking dumpster fire and a half.
Chad. Hey, hold on, man. Y'all going to get off my Knicks now.
Hey, I love the Knicks, man. We just ain't did nothing, man. I just wait for my man Dolan to step down.
Mm.
Sell a team or something, man. Because, like.
Yeah, Dolan got to go.
I go all the way back to 2002, man. We drafted Eric Chenoweth out of Kansas. Uh-huh. That's the first time I ever heard of a number one draft pick not making the opening day roster, man. And it's all been downhill.
Ain't that some shit.
Yeah, Eric Chenoweth. He was white kid. He was 7-footer, played at Kansas. Played with all the greats, man. Pierce, LaFrance, all them cats.
Yeah.
Can't get to the league. He was still a first round. He was 26.
Oh, shit. Stacey dropped out. Let me see if I can pull him back in. Yeah, we got to pull him back in. He dropped out. I don't know. Hey, Stace, you hear us, man?
Loud and clear, son.
Okay.
I can see him now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but you know what, with the Knicks, though, man, like, they, you know, for as bad as it's fucking, like, say, for instance, like, Phil Jackson's tenure was, he got them their one lone star in quite a long time, and they ended up trading his ass away. Porzingis.
I still don't get that, man. I still don't get it. But they say, hey, you know what? To be honest with you, man, like, I'm still beefing about that cat who's coming to me all the time. Like, hey, I know you're loving this Melo deal. I was like, dog, we had a good young nucleus, man.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of role players. At least we was winning games, man. And we mortgaged pretty much the whole future, man. We got rid of my man, Italian kid, Gallinari.
Yeah.
And it all went down. And we had a nucleus we was trying to build, man. So it is what it is, man.
Yeah, man.
It is what it is.
Y'all ain't been right since Pat left, man.
Yeah, you ain't never lying, man. We had some ugly 72-69 games that at least we was winning, man. A win is a win. I don't care how ugly it is.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed.
You need to tell that dude, for real.
Say that again, man. So you was coming in choppy because you was talking shit. That's what happened. see, now you froze, goddammit. That's what you get with talking shit. Cliff, refresh your screen. Hey, it was most unfortunate because this screen was froze with him. He had like this goofy ass look stuck on his face. Yo, Walt, what you been up to, homie?
Man, same old, man. I went to see that Tyler Perry movie earlier, man. The Last Madea joints.
Oh yeah. How was that?
Yeah, it was funny. It was a typical Tyler Perry Madea movie. It was funny. It was all right. It was all right. That's the best I'm gonna give it. All right, I'm gonna give it all right. Yeah.
You think this is really the last chapter in the saga of the Tyler Perry movies, man?
He says it's the last of the Madea movies. I don't think that's gonna be the last of him.
Well, no. I mean the Madea. Yeah.
Yeah, the Madea movies. Yeah.
We've seen too many times when somebody has been resurrected. You know what I'm saying? exactly. And me being partial to Spike Lee, man. I'm kind of like Bill Bellamy was when LaVance Tate was in what's the name of that flick? Love Jones. When they was trying to get him the accolade, he was sitting there applauding, kind of like with a half. Yeah, all right, whatever, man. That's the kind of love that I want to give Tyler. But I give my man. He employed a lot of us. He's an entrepreneur, a very intelligent cat, but I'm half-heartedly willing to give him all his praise because of the bias. And I've always rolled for my man Spike Lee. So if Spike got a beef with somebody, I got a beef with somebody.
I don't know, man. Spike pissed me off with that Chirac movie he made, man. That was some bullshit.
Yeah, he pissed a lot of people off with that. I ain't see it personally.
I ain't see it. I had it saved in the queue on HBO, but I know a lot of my Chicago heads, man, that's like...
That was some bullshit.
Slap the fire out if you even mention it, man. Oh, so.
Man. I was ready to put my foot so far on Spike's ass after that movie, man. Real talk. Yo, Cliff, what you been up to, homie?
Not bad.
I went to the Down South Legends concert on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Get Quick, Too Short, 8-Ball, MJG, Scarface, Juvie. First of all, it was the most ghetto event I've ever been to in my whole life.
I bet.
The Pelly Avirex Iceberg joints was out. That got 5 kids, 3 grandkids, and probably got a great grand on the way. Got 2 tummies, 1 in front, 1 in the back. You know what I'm saying? But no, it was a good time, man. I'm still kind of feeling Saturday. I'm sorry. That was Friday. That's how I kind of behind I am right now. But that's all I got, man.
That's what's up.
Glad you made it out of there. You know them joints be like lots of gunplay, baby.
See, I ain't been to a rap concert in so long, man. I think the last rap concert, I'm dating myself now, dog. The last rap concert I went to was a motherfucking Up in Smoke tour.
Damn.
Yes, that's a long
confession.
Time ago.
I've never been to one.
That was a long time ago. I was like, what, maybe 21, 22, something like that last time I went to a rap concert. I go to concerts, but like rap concerts just ain't my motherfucking bag, man.
What the shit? It's typically like jazz, and like I might go to a Jill Scott concert with my lady or something like that.
Yeah.
Although, man, you know I'm married to a white woman, so man, you can imagine the looks I got. My lady likes Jill too. My lady loves Jill too. So as we walking into the venue, you know, you got the little lounge area set up, cats getting drinks, you got VIP pose, take a picture.
Yeah.
Hey man, and my woman is strong. You seen my woman? She's a tough lady.
Yeah.
She ain't one of them white girls that try to like be a culture vulture or nothing. She just get in where she fit in. She get a lot of respect. My family, they love her, man. She just kept it real.
Right.
But I still, chicks ain't looking for that, man, when you roll up in the spot. Sisters ain't trying to hit. They're like, oh, you're a neo-soul lover. You bring this old stringy head woman up in here. So, yeah, it's a trip, man.
Yeah, I can see how I can get real in the field, man, for real.
Oh, yeah. So you got to be strong with it.
I've experienced similar things.
I can see how that could be some very perilous territory to be treading. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I can definitely see that. Now I know, like shit, this past week, man, I ain't been doing much of nothing. Shit, working as always. We went to go see that movie Us, that new Jordan Peele film. We went and saw that the other day. Me and my wife, we actually did a review of that for the Baywatch podcast, so y'all can check that out because that is available now. We did that, and other than that, man, just like fielding phone calls from different car dealerships now, man, because I'm thinking about getting a car like the beginning of next month, and I'm playing all these dealers against each other, man. Like I'm trying to get the best price, man, and I'm playing all these motherfuckers against each other. I got Kia calling me, Jeep calling me, fucking Chevy keep calling me, and they keep forgetting they call me, so they'll call me again. They'll email a motherfucker. I'll be glad when this shit is over. Real talk.
That's the status that you've reached, that they are calling you and reaching out to you, fam.
Man, they just want the sale, man. Like,
man, no
flat out.
No,
I don't even feel like it's like, you know, because I reached a certain status. Like, you call anybody that, like, especially car dealerships, man. The first thing they want you to do is, no matter what, they just want you to come into the dealership. And I'm not trying to waste my time being in the dealership. Hey, man, a lot of this information I can find out on the internet. You ain't got to. We ain't got to be up in here, like, you know, holding each other's hands, acting like we ain't gonna do all of that. I'm not about to waste my time. So you telling me one thing, I got another delay over here telling me something different. I'm gonna play all off of each other until I get what I need.
Until you get what you need for the price you want it.
Exactly. So, like I said, I just be glad when you sir. But we about to get off into this shit, man. We got some stories to get into. And yo, since this is your maiden voyage on the Beer and Chicken, man, yo, Stacy, you can kick us off, man. What you got for us tonight?
Let me see. Starting off, man, I figured I could be pretty basic, man. Just starting off, man. You know, I want to step on those toes. I want to just go with the flow. But, you know, this is March Madness.
Yes, sir.
So the best time of year, man. You got spring training baseball just wrapping up. Regular season. Man, I was shocked. I said that the other day. Spring, regular season about to kick off on Thursday, man, like a week early. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but you got March Madness. We're in the middle of it right now. Usually, I'm from end to end. And normally, I wouldn't even make any commitments because I'm like, on the couch from noon until like 1 o'clock in the morning, like the first 4 days. But man, there's been a couple, even some of the first and second round matches have been kind of lackluster, man. So I'm like, you get that every year, but some of them have really been compelling. So I'm like, man, I can miss out on a game or something like that. I ain't trying to watch VCU versus Southwest Missouri State or something like that, man. But, yeah. A lot of the matches have been pretty good. Like, some of the younger cats, like John Morant, my man Cassius out of Michigan State. And this is the time of year that I was saying that you really start to see some of these cats break out. Or like when most of the country, the cats that are not really like sports junkies like us, the cats that normally, the casual fan that wouldn't normally get to see somebody from the West Coast,
right,
or the East Coast or down South. Now you get to see them showcased on a grander stage. And this is the best time of year, man. Cats is like, oh man, this kid can play. I can see this kid doing this and this. And a lot of times people fall for that stigma of they played against lesser talent. So they're really not all that or something. They didn't play against world-class talent.
Right.
Sometimes it's about being in the right place at the right time, man. Because, like, if you can ball, you can ball.
Right.
Yeah. Right place, right time, nigga.
Now, you know what, though? Like, I think about that quite a bit, man. Like, I remember back when, like, say, for instance, like, Dwayne Wade is about to retire and shit. But I remember when Dwayne Wade was at, like, Marquette. Like when they went through that little tournament run at Marquette, like that's really what put Dwayne Wade on the map for a lot
yep.
of people. Was that Indeed. Tournament run that he had with Marquette? I'm trying to think of somebody else who like nobody really knew about until the tournament came around, and like they just splashed on the scene and you never forgot them anymore. Like shit, who else? Who
Chris
else?
Paul.
I'm trying to think of some of the names that really stand out, man.
Chris Paul was one of them.
Chris
but you
Paul
know what? But here's the thing with Chris Paul. Chris Paul was getting like profiled before he even went to Wake Forest. Like Chris Paul was catching profiles when he was in high school and shit. I'm trying to think of somebody who like a lot of folks just never really heard of prior to the tournament. Nah, Tim Duncan, man. Everybody knew about Timmy. Everybody knew about Timmy, man. Timmy was a 4-year star, man, like at Wake Forest. Like I remember when
we was flowing so good.
Yeah, he was like as soon as he was getting drafted, it was like, yeah, they whoever drafted.
I thought you, no, I thought you were saying like knew about him before he went to college. Is what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying you didn't really know about this cat until the tournament, right? Like he was balling it. You know, like he had his thing going, but it wasn't until the tournament where everybody became aware who that guy was, and he was, you know, he got that higher profile and rolled that into like not only just being a high draft pick, but a pretty decent NBA career. And right off top, I can just think of Dwayne Wade. I can't really think of anybody else right now.
No, yeah, Dwayne Wade is about it, yeah.
What about you, Cliff? You got anybody in mind?
The only reason why I said Chris Paul, even though I knew in high school, I mean, he has a hell of a story. I just remember his freshman year, they went to the suite. If I'm not mistaken, they went to the suite. And, man, he had like 40... 15 and like 10. So he had put up some crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the only reason why I brought Chris up because in that when they got to the suite, he just really solidified his self as somebody who can do regular season and they can actually, you know, they can make a difference when it matters, even though they lost. But
I think CJ McCollum is another one too. CJ McCollum that's up at Portland. I believe he was one of those guys who had a really big breakout year in the tournament and rolled that into an NBA career. Like now he's like part of one of the better backcourts in the whole league. And Stacey dropped out again. Let me pull him back up. You got anybody else, Wall, who you think of right off the top?
Nah. I'm going with you with Dwayne Wade.
All right, let's see. Stacey got to come back.
That one cat last year I wouldn't put him in the mix because so far we really haven't heard nothing about him like pro wise. But what was his name? The kid from Villanova, was it DiVincenzo or whatever his name was?
DiVincenzo.
Nobody knew who he was until that goddamn tournament.
Pretty much. But he was
so far as translating to the pros, he hasn't, you know, he ain't no Dwayne Wade. You know what I mean? So
nah. And people tend to fall in love with that 4-year player, somebody that's kind of basically groomed himself over the 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a love fest. Like, people usually fall in love with a cat that's been working his way up, like kind of like I call it the Shane Battier syndrome. He stayed in school 4 years. Every year he seemed to get better at something. Here and there. 1 year he worked on the defense. Next year he worked on getting like a decent shot, a mid-range shot.
Yo.
And from that point on, he ended up having like a nice, I'm not going to say stellar, a nice, he had a respectable 12, 14-year career, something like that. But people fall in love with it.
Listen, man. So, Don't be throwing a shot on Shane, dog.
I like Shane, man. I'm glad he finally did something about that Alien Nation haircut he had, too.
Oh, man. Somebody had to mention the haircut. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, right. He had that Sharpay going on. Sharpay. Like, man.
Yeah, that Sharpay, man.
Yeah. What other legendary Sharpay wearers can I think of? Remember Scottie Pippen when he tried to save his head that 1 year? I was like, come on, son.
Oh, man, it's a couple of them. Call him name right off top, but it's a couple of Sharpay heads, man.
Yeah, and it's equivalent to that uncle that you see that still show up at the cookout with the Lee Jean outfit. And I mean, the Lee Jean outfit be in immaculate shape. It'd be like the darkest blue you can find.
Oh,
and I know he didn't buy that brand new from somewhere recent, man. It'd be like the darkest blue you can imagine. And then he'd show up with the braids. The braids that don't come all the way around.
Do they even still make Lee Jeans, though? That's what I want to know.
They make them, man. They make them. You can buy them in the bargain basket at any great retailer.
I haven't seen a pair of Lees in I don't know how long, man.
Hey, man, as a person who's been saved by my father, who had Lee Jean suits and bell-bottom polyester suits in every color, one piece, the zip-up models, and refused to relinquish them until the late 90s, until he had you. So my mother just said, finally, I can't go out no more with you. You're embarrassing me. My father finally did it, man.
Hey, man, my pops wore Jerry Curl until about 99, bro. You ain't alone. You is not alone. Yes, indeed, man.
I made a pact with my children that I would never embarrass them publicly like that, man.
I hear that. But so we got the NBA. So the tournament is going on. Like, do you guys have any surprises? Like, has the tournament surprised y'all yet? With who's like currently going forward and who's lost so far? Are you surprised by any of the people that's still alive right now?
Damn.
Well, me personally, I haven't been keeping up with the tournament.
Can we all hear? Saying?
I haven't been keeping up with the tournament.
I'm frozen again.
No, you're not frozen, Stacey. I hear you.
No, you know, you good.
So nobody's been keeping up with the tournament? The tournament like is kind of incognito on these beer and chicken streets?
You know, the only thing that I keep up in college basketball today is Zion.
Zion.
That's what keeps me in tune with college football right now is Zion.
I caught the highlights.
Pretty much,
you know,
man.
Like,
Zion, I kept waiting for him. I mean, it's funny because like, can you hear me right now?
Yeah.
Okay. No. It's funny though. Like in the last couple of years, you know how they had YouTube sensation and cats was like trying to downgrade him and badmouth him and everything. I was always that cat. Say you guys gonna be surprised. But then when he finally made it this year to the college level, I kept waiting for his little things to fall apart. I was like, let's see. Okay, now you're on the stage. I know I rooted for you to get here. Now you're here. I'm waiting for your downfall. And then, I mean, the kid has surprised me every night, man. And all these people say they ain't got a jump shot. Man, this dude, as far as I know, every time I look at him, he's knocking it down. This cat is like, I'm hoping we get him in New York, man. I'm hoping so. He's like the Messiah, man. I'm waiting on it, man.
Well, one of the things about Zion that I think is interesting over the course of the year that's kind of changed.
Not since the likes of Patrick Ewing have I been this happy, man, about the possibility of getting this cat, man. We need him, man.
It's possible. But one of the things...
Man, you can hear the pain in my voice. We need him.
One of the things I think is real interesting about like the narrative around Zion is like I remember earlier in the year...
One man's man. Still frozen?
I'm frozen?
You good.
Oh, okay. No, I'm saying one of the things about
Zion. I think there's
something going on with Span and Stacy. Stacy can't hear you, Span. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Stacy just dropped. But no, I was getting ready to say that one of the things that I think about Zion Williamson, the narrative around around his game. I remember when before the season started, we were talking about RJ Barrett being the best player on that squad.
Yep.
And a lot of that,
I was going to get there.
A lot of that has changed, where like RJ Barrett is not seen as the best player on that team. Zion Williamson has pretty much been like catapulted as to the engine that kind of makes that squad go. So it's just been kind of interesting to watch that kind of change over the course of the year. That like before the season started, the narrative was that, yo, yeah, Zion Williamson is good, but like, yeah, he's like this monstrous player playing against all these little small white kids. Let's see what he does when he gets around some real players in the ACC. And not only has he kind of solidified his spot, he's excelled in it. And like I said, the whole thing was RJ Barrett was better than him. You don't hear that talk about RJ Barrett being better than Zion Williamson much anymore.
But you know what, though? You know what? To that, I would say, how many times have we seen in college the cat that is everybody initially said would be like the guy that's kind of like kind of just kind of taking it back, like a back page to the guy that's seen as secondary. But then when they get to the league, they all of a sudden become that alpha comes out. I don't know if it's seasoning or like the certain maturity that you gain. Because if I recall, is it Cam Reddish or is it RJ that's from Canada?
I don't remember. I don't know.
One of them is Canadian. The reason that I'm bringing that up is it's something about like this influx of Canadian basketball players over the last decade. You look at some of the cats that came through Oak Hill Academy, Finley Prep out of Nevada, and a lot of these cats are starting to come across the state, I mean the border, and you're starting to see some of this influx of Canadian talent. Only problem is here in the U.S. and some of our urban areas where the best ball players come from is a certain style that you have about it, man. You got to have a certain, like, a certain toughness, a certain swagger. And some of these Canadians, like, when they come over, it's like they're not really in touch with that. They just want to come here and play ball. They got the skills and everything like that. But when it gets tough, sometimes they don't have that little chip on their shoulder or whatever, and they don't know how to assert themselves and have that little extra edge that you need sometimes to take that next step. It's like they develop it over time. See Tristan Thompson.
With Duke, man, y'all talk about Baird and Zion. I think it's to say that Barrett is better than Zion is relative, because I think Zion is the most athletic player in college ball right now. Barrett might have a better basketball IQ, you know, kind of right. All around deal.
Right.
And Tracy, Stacey, you mentioned that, you know, people say that Zion ain't got no jump shot. Hey, man, that nigga can't shoot at all, yo. Okay. He get lucky. He get lucky. But, you know, Zion is a freak of nature when it comes to being an athlete. He can legitimately go to any sport and he will be able to do anything on the court or field. Barrett is just a great basketball player, which is definitely going to get him into the league.
Right.
And here's the thing. Honestly, if Zion was not at Duke, Barrett would be the number one player in the United States, bar none.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's just the bottom
line. Oh, no.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, well,
like if Zion Williamson was at UMass right now, Zion Williamson would be the number one motherfucking player in college basketball right now.
No, bar if none. Zion wasn't playing college basketball,
he said, okay. Period. Okay. Yeah,
period.
Okay,
if he wasn't playing Barrett at Duke, yeah.
Well, all right, that's it for the college basketball. Let's move on to some baseball, man. So, one of y'all wanted to talk about Mike Trout making $400 million, man. Which one?
Ain't
of y'all
no one
was?
Of y'all. You know who it was.
And I got a special sum for Mike Trout. I think this is what he was playing when he walked out after signing that contract. You know what I'm saying? I know I would if I signed $430 million. You know, that's what I'd be on. But I got an article, and the day that all this hit, I was happy for Mike, because in major leagues right now, it's a lot of Mike Trouts. It really is. It really, really is that can play both sides of the ball. But this article says Mike Trout tops the list of largest contracts in sports after signing a record-breaking $430 million deal. Bryce Harper may have made history by getting baseball's biggest contract from the Phillies in February, but Mike Trout now has the biggest contract in professional sports. All right. Week after Harper inked a record deal for $330 million, his fellow star outfielder has taken the cake in terms of big money deals, landing a 12-year, $430 million deal with the Angels. Seven-time All-Star would have been even more unprecedented free agent in 2020 than Harper, and now the San Diego Padres, Mackie Machado, I think he got $300 million, something like that. In LA, he's the largest, highest paid player. He's going to get $38.5 million. Crazy. I just wanted to touch on a little bit of what this says, but you know, for those that don't know baseball that well, Harper and Trout played on the same team for the past 5 years. They were just like this dynamic duel in baseball because they were great together. And they knew their time would be short because somebody got to go. And even the Cubs were looking crazy. You hear me, Span?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. But Bryce Harper was going to leave. He knew that. So did Mike Trout. And Mike was waiting out. He didn't even go to spring training because he was waiting for the contract. But this dude has the largest contract in sports. In sports. And I'm like, shit, we always talk about if guys are actually worth this type of money. We talk about this, well, specifically in football. But Mike hasn't won a World Series, but his accolades are through the roof. This dude got, you know, Rookie of the Year. He's always been an All-Star. He's batting, like, above 300 RBIs. I'm talking about stolen bases, defense, the whole – He would be your ideal son if you wanted to paint a picture of what you want your son to do if you go to the majors. So shout out to Mike Trout. You know, I always look for players that put that work in, and he's getting his due. Definitely is.
I definitely
– I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it at all. And, I'm all for a player getting his money, man. Baseball has by far one of the best.
God damn it. Oh man, we gotta get Stacey to get a better connection. We gotta get you on the wire connection, homie.
I think he's on his phone.
All right, we back.
All right. Said, hey, I'm not knocking him because from what I see it, man, baseball has long always had one of the best collective bargaining agreement setups for the players. It's always been player friendly. They've always had one of the best unions from everything for his lack of drug testing to the length and the value of these contracts. Back in the late 70s with Dave Parker, the Pirates, all them, Keith Hernandez, guys like that. A lot of those guys got off scot-free and resumed to end up having stellar Hall of Fame caliber careers and things like that with a slap on the wrist. Like, where else can you do that in society, you know? Like, and then just looking at it, man, like, I'm for these players getting all their money. I always say, you're worth whatever somebody's willing to pay. And for the millions that they pay this person, the owner is reaping even more, 10 times that. So I'm all about it. The only thing I would see if I was a GM or something like that, I would hope that they learned about 5 or 6 years ago, if you saw the contracts when they brought in C.J. Wilson coming off a MVP caliber, Cy Young caliber season with the Texas Rangers, got them into the playoffs, took them deep. So they signed him. They brought in Josh Hamilton. They brought him in as well to a $100-plus million contract. And then a couple of years later, they went out and signed Pujols. And they reap no.
Ah, shit.
He was on a roll.
Why would you? They got Pujols and they reap no benefits. And that's when you cut out, Stacey.
Wilson, Pujols, couple role players, and they got Josh Hamilton. That's your trifecta right there, man. Those cats were supposed to take you to the promised land, and you reap no benefits other than a second or third place in the division. And so they had nothing to show for it. And then on top of it, you still got about another 3 or 4 years with the Pujols 10-year, $200-something deal. So you got the back end of his career. You're not reaping the benefits that he had as well. You're getting if he had stayed with the Cardinals, let's send you into retirement with a nice bonus for doing as well, like the Michael Jordan plan. Right. Let's pay you big at the end, you over at the beginning. So they get a situation like that. And it's just a matter of the GM in that situation should know better. I might have like streamlined the contract and made, okay, we'll make you the highest paid, but we're going to do it in dollar amount. We'll pay you like 35 or 40 a season and do like a 5-year deal or something like that or whatever. Increments. I'm not doing no lengthy $10 million deal. Like, I felt that same way about 3 or 4 years ago with Robinson Cano when the Yankees, I was like, man, come on, Yanks, go ahead and play my man Cano. But then I saw how like sometimes Cano didn't always like run out ground balls or something like that. And I was like, and he struck me for being an all-star. He was lazy at times. And I said, man, the Yankees go ahead and just pony up that money and give him a 10-year deal. But then when they didn't and they let him go to Seattle, I was bitter at first. But then when I saw when he got to Seattle, big money, the lazy habits came right back. And I said, you know what? We're going to be better for it, man. We're going to be better for it. As a fan, I was like, okay. But I'll never clown the cat for getting his money, man. I believe you get every dime you can. In fact, I think by signing early and taking his deal, I think he gave him a hometown discount. Because if he had waited and tested the water, I think eventually he probably could have cut 500 plus.
You think he could have been half a Billy?
Half a Billy.
Hell no.
Damn. So that's what baseball players at now, half a Billy's? Damn near half a Billy's?
The 25th man on an MLB roster is making $5, $6, $7 million a year.
Them boys is out there getting that bread.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things about like the fact that he got the this amount of money, because I'm one of the people like I don't mind the players getting their money. I'm all for like as a worker, I'm like, yo, the players are the workers. I identify with the workers. If they gonna get this guy $426 million fucking dollars, just imagine how much money that owner is bringing in where he can afford to kind of set that kind of money off on one guy on the team, not the whole squad. That's just one dude. He didn't say, you know what? He's worth $426 million to this franchise. Remember when? Remember when teams used to sell for that amount, like whole franchises. Remember that shit.
Yep.
So now you got players by themselves who are signing contracts for 10 or 12 years, $300 million, $420 million. Like the amount of money that's in the game is tremendous. The one thing that I do kind of like, I've been noticing because I was kind of listening to some talk, some sports radio during the week, and a lot of the fans are starting to have like this disconnect even from the baseball players, right? Like this guy goes up there, he's at bat, he just made like $45,000 for that one at bat. You know, I make $45,000 a year. This is bullshit. I can't connect to these guys. These guys, you know, I can't relate to them. I'm like, when have you ever really, really, really related to this millionaire, though?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I wonder, like, at a certain point, like, could the money in the game, because these numbers are becoming so large, could the numbers in the game actually start becoming a detriment where the fans start turning on the players because the players are earning so much money? I'm seeing bits of that happening already with the guys when they get the money. Like people are already like, and we talk about this with football and everything too. That guy doesn't deserve that much money. That guy isn't worth that amount of money. He's worth what somebody's willing to pay him. But I'm starting to see this more and more with every time a big contract comes out, there's a bit of fan resentment with how much these guys are getting paid.
Oh yeah. People thought the sky was falling when
Matthew Stafford got
my
paid.
Pops always told me a long time ago, don't count another man's money.
Man,
it's okay to give him props and accolades, but don't sit there and like, don't count another man's money. You do what you can to try to get up there. If you're a school teacher, which I love school teachers, I love people in public service, things like that. Teachers, doctors, lawyers, things like, well, take the lawyers out. They're crooks. teachers, doctors, people like that. People in public service. Yeah, they deserve it. But like I tell all these people, nobody is sitting there paying millions of dollars to watch a school teacher sit here and break down geometric equations or something like that. Nobody's sitting there like holding down there like in crunch time waiting for you. Oh man, I hope you break this shit down or whatever. Like, oh damn. But yeah, you don't see that, man. But somebody is willing to watch that guy hit that jump shot with 2.3 seconds on the clock.
Right. So yeah, man.
So, and you only see this in sports, man. You don't see it in Hollywood, man. You know why you don't see it in Hollywood. You don't see somebody critiquing somebody about how much they make in Hollywood.
I think to a large degree, though, is because a lot of folks don't necessarily know all the time what they're making in Hollywood, right? So, I mean, their salary isn't put out as much as, like, the sports salaries are.
The sports, yeah.
Like, as soon as a guy signs a deal for whatever team he's going to play for, that's splattered. Like, ESPN's got it all over the fucking TV. You're getting hit with it on Twitter. It's all over Facebook. Such and such is signed for $426 million. You are hit with how much his contract was worth. And it doesn't tell you how much the agent gets. Doesn't tell you how much of that shit is going to be paid out in taxes or whatever else.
Taxes,
All you see is this guy signed a contract for $400 some odd million. Whereas with Hollywood, television actors and stuff like that, you can look for that kind of stuff. But for the most part, you're like, well, you know, most people will look up box office numbers. Like, well, how much money did this movie make? You know what I'm saying? They got this big name actor. How much money did he generate because he was in this film, and how much did they promise to pay him to be in this film? But people have to really look for that. When it comes to like baseball, football, hockey, the sports, that shit is already given to you. You don't even have to look for it.
That's true. Sometimes you look at it, it's almost like they want some of these cats to get robbed or something, man. Broadcasting these salaries, man.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes these cats all kind of set themselves up to be robbed. Sometimes you're like, hey, man, what was you doing, man? Like, you can't be kicking it in the hood like that. They don't really fuck with you like that.
I'm sorry, man. A lot of cats, that's another thing, man, that I don't understand, man. A lot of these cats, man, you can't always, I know you want to go home, but you can't always go home, man. You making money like that. Unfortunately, you got to separate yourself and put yourself in new surroundings, man.
Bring the people at home that you're going to see to you.
Everything like that, but you just got to let them know.
Bring the people at home that you want to see to you.
That's how you feel, Walt? Bring them to your house?
Bring them to your house.
Hey, man, you got...
The fuck is that?
Hey, man, you can't just bring them to your house, though, man. Sometimes you gotta bring them someplace else, man. You can't just bring them straight
to your house. Bring them someplace else.
Hey, man, bring us...
Just don't go home.
If you do bring them to your house, hey, we're going to have a prearranged location. I'll meet you at the mall or something like that, whatever. We're going to have the man come over here with the damn Sprinter van.
Put the blindfold on him.
And then we're going to take you to the place. Get there. Don't panic. Hey.
You are not being kidnapped.
Man, you motherfuckers sound like cartel leaders and shit.
You know how they do it. Hey, them cats ain't never been robbed before. I've been in situations where I came close to getting robbed. I was always one step ahead.
But you live in East New York. Of course you have. That's not a soul in East New York that ain't been booked. I'm just saying.
Hey, my antennas have been up since my first starter jacket got stolen. Back when I was like 11 years old, man. A Denver Nuggets joint I had, man. And I never forgave it.
I had a Tar Heels joint.
Tar Heels joint? Man, I tell you what, man. Once it's happened to you, hey, you always on guard. Always on guard. People are like, why are you jumping? Why are you looking around? Why are you walking with your hands in your pockets? Hey, don't worry about it.
Indeed, keep stepping. Indeed. Let's move on. We got another topic we got to get to, man. So Walt, you made mention of a story where there was this fan in Milwaukee who paid almost $7,000 to see the Bucks and the Lakers play, and he got no LeBron and he got no motherfucking Giannis Antetokounmpo either. So tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit more, Walt.
My dude, is there anything else to tell? This man paid 7 stacks for some seats with no LeBron and no Giannis. My man, how long they say before they put that money back on that debit card? He need a refund, bro. 7 stacks? 7 stacks. Man. If you spend that much money on seats, bro, they should have something. There's got to be some type of warning. There's got to be some type of warning where it's like, okay, man, listen. They paid 7 stacks for the seats. They found out LeBron them ain't gonna play. Listen, y'all want to keep these seats? Do y'all want to? Y'all want a refund or something? It's got to be some type of clause in that.
Right.
You can't pay 7 stacks to see the bench players, bro.
Now, are StubHub tickets considered aftermarket tickets? Because I believe he bought them shits on StubHub.
Oh yeah, man. You're pretty much stuck with it.
Yeah,
man. Me and StubHub got to have a conversation.
Now, StubHub is equivalent to you get that man, you meet that man in the alley by the dumpster, you give him your money.
Man.
You look around and
let me see.
You got the money. He's already at the end of the alley. You never.
Let me
see.
Let me see. Note to self: never buy tickets from StubHub. Got it.
Yes.
Duly noted.
Cliff, we can't hear you, man. What the fuck? Because Cliff was over there going. Yeah. Cliff was
Stacey
over there
got
going.
Stacy got the purple bag. I can't even hear Cliff. I'm mad. I can't hear him.
Yeah, but no, what I was getting ready to say, though, was the fact that, like, yo, for one, like, I kind of want to tie this into the whole thing of, you know, it's a late, you know, it's getting later in the year. And what we've noticed early, like, what we've noticed over the course of the last few years is a lot of NBA teams are starting to rest their, you know, like, some of their stars, especially, like, you know, getting ready for the postseason and everything else. Now, we know we can hear you. We know the Lakers aren't going to the playoffs this year, but the Milwaukee Bucks are. So, like, you know, they're trying to get Giannis, you know, kind of, you know, keep him fresh for the postseason and everything else. But San Antonio started this whole thing where they would sit down, like, they starters and shit, let the, you know, let the second unit and some of the scrub players get off in there and get them some.
But they was old, though. Well, I guess you can consider LeBron old.
No, I'm saying this is before they were old, man. Like, Popovich had, like, kind of been resting his guys for a long time to keep them fresh for the playoffs. This is part of the reason why a lot of those dudes lasted probably longer than they probably, you know, they otherwise would have, because they weren't necessarily putting the mileage on their legs during the regular season in games that didn't count. They knew they were in the playoffs. They had a playoff spot locked up. They were just like, yo, okay, you're going to get some rest. You're not going to play tonight. You're going to get some rest. You're not going to play tonight. Pop kept his guys fresh, and it became a thing where a lot of teams started adopting that philosophy where I'm going to rest my star tonight because we already got our playoff spot locked up. There's no reason for him to play. He stands a chance of getting hurt, and we need this guy for the next month and a half. So I'm starting to wonder, especially with, you know, ticket prices and everything going up, and we talk about, like, fans being resentful of the players because of the money that they make. But also, I think the fans may have a legitimate point about being upset spending your motherfucking hard-earned motherfucking money to see certain players and then those dudes not showing up to play ball on the day that you came to come see them play.
If there's a possibility that say the scenario plays out, like you just said, where we're late in the season, if there's a possibility that LeBron or Giannis or Steph Curry or Durant, if there's a possibility those guys are not going to play, then the ticket shouldn't be that expensive.
Well, here's the thing. LeBron, the point that we're making here is this. These guys aren't injured. You know what I'm saying? They aren't injured. They're physically able to perform. The coaches are just opting not to put those dudes into the game. And the people who are paying the money to see these teams are paying money more so to see the stars play this game. Not to see the dude who's third on the bench who never really comes off, because it's late in the season. They're not paying that kind of money to see him. They're coming to see the stars. And usually, the ticket prices for those games don't get any cheaper. It's not like they're going to say, yeah, this court-sized seat that you would normally spend $3,000 on about to be $1,500 because, yo, LeBron ain't playing tonight. They're not going to do that.
Well, what we're saying, you spoke on when Pop started doing that 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
You know, everybody, there's always going to be somebody to throw a wrench in the system. And they take advantage of it. And what has happened now, Walt, I hear what you're saying around, you know, as far as the players not being sick and, you know, well, I paid $7,000 for a ticket. Well, here's the thing. This is sports. They can be walking to the game and blow a knee. It ain't got to be something that happened before. So your $7,000 that you spent on that ticket courtside to see LeBron and the Greek Freak, they're not responsible for the player's health. The only thing they're responsible for is make sure you got heat and water in the facility when you come in there. That's it. You know,
that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Because when you go, there are certain games where tickets to the same fucking seat goes up depending on what team they're playing that night. So if that team comes to your town and the team is already up the price of that seat because of the team that you're playing against, and then that team's star player, they're like, you know what? No, he's not gonna play that night. You're not about to get your money back. They're not gonna refund you your money because of the premium that they put on that seat.
I hear that, and I get what y'all saying, but this is business. This is all about value. Check it out. Let me give you a perfect example. My cousin is an assistant coach for Charlotte. When he was playing in the league in the 80s, we used to sit courtside at the Bulls Stadium for $25. All right. When the Bulls were doing their thing in the 90s, dude, Span, you know this. The tickets, the season tickets were sold out for the next 15 years. There was no guarantee that Michael Jordan, we knew Michael Jordan wasn't going to play that long, but guess what? The value was there. So it didn't got nothing to do with, oh, well, it ain't fair because they know they ain't going to play. No, you are able to sell a product or a service based on how much, what y'all said earlier. Somebody's willing to pay for it, man. So they can
I get that.
All day long.
No, I get that. The point that I'm making is this, is that when a consumer makes the purchase, right, they're under the assumption that the reason why this ticket price costs this much as opposed to it costing this much is like, say, for instance, yo, the Lakers are coming to town, right? Lakers are coming to town. The Bulls will charge more money for a Lakers ticket coming to see, play the Bulls than it will for the Pistons coming to play the Bulls.
Yeah.
So yeah. When that consumer buys that ticket, they're paying a premium because of the team that which they're going to be playing against. More often than not, the assumption is, yo, I'm going to get to see LeBron play tonight. This is why I'm paying this premium on this ticket, right? When that team decides, like, he's not even hurt, we're just not going to play him tonight. That can then, like, I can understand why a fan would be like, yo, this is some bullshit. This ain't what I paid for, because I could have paid. If this is what y'all going to do, then charge me the same rate that y'all would charge me if I'm going to watch the Pistons come over here and play this shit. Because that's pretty much what I got. I'm not getting what I'm paying for.
That's like ordering something online and then it show up to your house, you open the box and it's missing the two pieces or missing the pieces. Then it's like you didn't get what you paid for, bro.
You guys are missing the most important factor out of all of this. When you buy a ticket, nowadays, if you're not the season ticket holder, it is always a third party purchase. So it's not the Chicago Bulls upping you on the charge of that seat. It's whoever's owning that ticket right now. Period. You're not buying directly from the Chicago Bulls. You're not buying it from, you're buying it from a third party source already.
Who's so, the third party source? So hold on. So if I go to the box office, right
now,
I go to the box office, I'm buying it from a third party. I'm not buying it from the Chicago Bulls organization.
It depends. Now, courtside seats, all those seats are sold out. That is somebody's ticket. They are using the box office to resell that ticket at whatever value they feel like it's worth. Now, the seats in the third level, you buying that directly from Chicago Bulls because nobody gives a shit about those seats. You know,
but even with those seats, those
sure.
seats go up in price depending on who that team is playing that night.
I get that, but we're talking about the one that is extremely substantial, not the one that go from 50 to 100.
I guess the point that we're really making here is at a certain point, it becomes a problem for the league when you got so many teams sitting star players arbitrarily, you know what I'm saying? When people are out here spending money, like, yo, man, because as much as you would look at it like, oh, that nobody gives a fuck about that seat. But somebody who may only go to one or two games a year, you're like, yo, man, this is a lot of money for me to take my kid to this baseball game, football game, basketball game, or whatever. I'm spending, like, this is a lot of money for me. It might not be a whole hell of a lot of money for y'all. And the one time I spend the money, I'm really not getting what I'm paying for. So it can become it can get to a point where, you know, the shit can lead to a bit of a backlash from fans. Like, man, I'm not paying for it. Like, y'all can't keep doing this shit. Y'all can't keep charging me these kind of prices for certain players being there. And then when I get there, yo, the dudes I really paid to see ain't playing. Now, if he's hurt, that's something different. But if y'all just decide not to play his ass, that's something entirely. Those are two different things, I believe.
I hear you. Let me just throw this in too. If you was paying Mike Trout or a player like Mike Trout $430 million, you're going to try to conserve his body and mind as best you can for the most important time of the season. This is business. I get it. Here's the things, man. Most of these teams, like the Bulls, people are just Bulls fanatics. It is Detroit Pistons fans that will die for the Pistons. They could care less.
No, they won't. No, they won't. Shit. No, they won't. The minute the Pistons fall off, they asses fall off too. They don't give a fuck about the Pistons until the Pistons start winning.
Walt said he dying for the Pistons.
No,
he dying
not. No, he not. He is not.
No, I understand what you're saying, man. But I mean, it just depends on what shoes you in when it comes to whether if you're the person buying the ticket, if you're the player or if you're the team. You know, you got it's your view on the situation and depending on the consumer. I totally agree. You know, if they only could afford one game, they might not need to go to the game then. You know, I don't know, but in all, people still mind them.
Okay, so yeah, Stacy just hit me. Let me see what Stacy talking about. I was just gonna say, yo, Stacy didn't kind of see. He said he got kicked out. Shit, we might have to go on without Stacy.
Hey, Stacy, man, if you looking at the show or you know if you look at it on the back end, I'm gonna send you a Bulls or a Cubs, you know, something Chicago. The New York field is kind of like getting in your way. It's a little interference. I'm gonna clear it up for you. You know, I'm that type of dude. I'm that type of dude.
I'm going to have Stacy call in on the hotline while we're doing to see if he can get in that way. That might be a better way to rock it.
Walt, can't hear you, Walt. Can't hear you.
Clint, you that dude that get chased out of bars.
No.
You that guy.
Oh, man. So we're going to move on, though, from this shit because we got another topic that I kind of want to talk about. And that's the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers ass have officially been eliminated from playoff contention. And Stacy's calling in now. Hold on a second.
Bye, bitches.
Okay, so go ahead and ask. What it do, man?
Hey, Span, what happened, man?
I don't know. All I know is like you just came up like in the lobby, and then it went gray. You were grayed out, so it just wouldn't even let you on, man. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes with this live podcast, we got to find workarounds, and this is what we done did. So you on here now, baby.
Yeah. You see, I'm in there now?
Yeah, you on here now. Like, I hear you. So this is how we going to roll out for the rest of the show. You just be on the phone.
Okay, I can't even hear, but go ahead. I'm going to continue on this way then.
Yeah. So we talking about, I just said it, that the Los Angeles Lakers have just been officially eliminated out of the playoffs this year. And I found this story here on ESPN.com, of course. And low-key, I was kind of getting into one of my homies on Twitter, man, because he was a little upset with the fact that LeBron James' face was being associated with the fact that the Lakers ain't made the playoffs in the last 6 years. He said he was a bit unfair to make LeBron James the face of the Lakers' failures or whatnot, right? So I'm going to read this story here out of ESPN. It says, after the Los Angeles Lakers missed the playoffs only five times in the first 65 years of the franchise existence, Friday's 111-106 loss to the Brooklyn Nets officially eliminated them from postseason contention for the sixth straight year. At 31-41, LA is now a game worse than it was at this time last season with 10 games left to play. That, of course, did not have LeBron James. In a sequence that just about sums up the Lakers season, LA had the ball with 22.8 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter on Friday and trailed by just three when James slipped out of bounds, losing the possession without the Lakers even getting a shot off to try to tie the game. It was a rocky season from the start for James and the Lakers. In the home opener, Rajon Rondo and Brandon Ingram both earned suspensions for their role in an altercation with the Houston Rockets' Chris Paul. After a 2-5 start, Lakers president Magic Johnson dressed down coach Luke Walton in a meeting, expressing urgency that the team improve. Whatever excitement was generated come Christmas Day when the Lakers climbed to number 4 in the Western Conference standings after a win over the defending champion Golden State Warriors, was quickly tamped down as James, slight tear in his groin, and Rondo, fractured finger, both suffered injuries that kept him out of the lineup for weeks. Following a failed pursuit of Anthony Davis at February's trade deadline, Lakers brass still put the postseason as their team's top priority, with general manager Rob Pelinka likening the additions of Reggie Bullock and Mike Muscala to the New England Patriots getting Julian Edelman back off suspension and making a run for the Super Bowl. We got a goal ahead of us to try to make the playoffs, Johnson said a couple days after the deadline. That's what it's all about. So, as I said, one of my partners, the homie Jeremy, was talking about, it's unfair for LeBron James to be seen as one of the faces of the Lakers' failures as of recent. But who do you guys blame the most for the Lakers not being in the playoffs this season? I'm going to start with you, Cliff.
LeBron James. Let me tell you something. If you're going to take our responsibility of being the best player in the NBA and to be the face of the team, it is your problem. You are the leader. You are our, you know, messiah. So that is a legit statement. I'm not saying that nobody else is to blame, but if you're going to point your finger at somebody, you're going to point your finger at the leader, you know. And if you ask me, I think LeBron, before all the injuries, I know we spoke spoke on this before. They were the fourth seed in the West, man. So I get it. Shit happens. But at the end of the day, it's LeBron's fault. Like, period. It's your fault, dude. So get over it. Just wait till next year. Take the heat and keep it moving. You used to it with that receding hairline.
How about you, Walt? Oh, shit. Yo, mic muted, man.
Uh-oh.
We can't hear you, dog.
I blame two people. I blame LeBron James, number one, and I blame the Western Conference, number two.
That's more than two people. That's like 1,000 motherfuckers. You just...
We're going to count them all as one right now. I blame the Western Conference. I mean, dude, all right. You go to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the finals, what, eight straight seasons or something like that, he went to the finals?
Uh-huh.
It was a cakewalk. The cakewalk is over. There's nothing else to say about it. The cakewalk is over. The whole time he was in the Eastern Conference, he never got hurt. He go to the Western Conference. Them boys ran his ass up out the gym. He started getting hurt, man. You know what I mean? You got to play them squads all season versus playing the goddamn Hornets, man, or you know. So,
yo,
it is what it is. I blame the Western Conference for being tougher, and I blame LeBron for going to the Western Conference.
How about you, Stace? What you think about that?
Hey, I gotta agree with my man Walt, man, on this, man, because it's like anytime you look at the leagues, it's like a seismic shift. Like, remember, like I call it a seismic shift because you look at like the Eastern Conference used to be the dominant conference,
yeah.
And then in the last 12, 14 years, the Western Conference has been like, just like in baseball, like the National League used to be dominant AL, and things go in cycles, man. But with this, I'm looking at LeBron. I was like, man, you know what? You could have stayed in the Eastern Conference, man, and like some parts of the East Coast anyway, because I'm an East Coaster. But you could have stayed in the Eastern Conference, man, and kind of coasted a little bit at times when you needed to. But just like Walt said, man, you getting ran up every night, because every night
they running them up.
Look at the West Coast, man, the Western Conference point guards. It ain't just one every third game. Every damn night, you got a Westbrook, you got a Paul, you got a this, that. You got cats that's running left and right. You got small forwards. And Ford's out here running like gazelles all damn night long, putting scores up in the ones and the 120s. In the Eastern Conference, you can sit back, lean on somebody, and then, like, you can sit there, like, lean on somebody, man, who has this 75 to 70 game or something like that, and you chill it. But now, you got to go out here and exert energy, burn up fuel, everything. You got to come out of games and come back in when normally in the Eastern Conference, fourth quarter, you sitting there with a towel on your knees, ice bags, relaxing. Now, you got to stand there to the end.
Let me say this. I'm going to give him this much because of the fact that he is in his 16th season. I'm going to give him this much. You know what I'm saying?
I'll give him that.
But at the same time, we've never seen, you know, a stronger athlete playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? So, but to me, this right here says a hell of a lot about Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. And it says even more about Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant spent his entire career in the Western Conference. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the whole time, everybody's been kissing LeBron's ass because he's been going to the finals for AJ. He's been walking to the finals. It's apparent now. It's evident now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so you got guys like that, like Kevin Durant and them, that's been fighting all this time in the Western Conference. That kind of puts, you know, put some points on their board when it comes to that whole little best player argument, you know what I mean, or whatever. But that's just my opinion.
All right.
Durant, man, the whole Durant thing, man. There's something about him, man. I hear a rattle every time I hear the Durant name, man. Like, I refuse to let my son get a second pair of Durant. Even though they're nice looking shoes, I refuse to let him get a second pair of them just because dude's a snake.
Oh, man. So check this out, y'all. Here's how I feel about it, man. Like I said, I was on Twitter. I was going back and forth with the homie Jeremy, man. And his whole thing was, it's not fair for LeBron to be seen as the face of the Lakers' failures, considering the fact that the Lakers haven't made the playoffs 5 seasons prior to LeBron James getting there, right? And I understand all of that. But the point that I'm making is, had the Lakers made the playoffs this season, LeBron James would have been getting the boatload of the fucking credit for them being there.
Oh, yeah.
So this failure is a great triumvirate.
You can't have it both ways with like LeBron James is the GOAT, but when they don't make it to the playoffs, it's somehow not his fault. Like, he bears some sort of blame for that shit. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, the GOAT gets the credit and he gets the blame when they lose. That's what happens when you the GOAT. This is why he ain't the GOAT. But the other thing, because I don't believe that LeBron James is, I don't believe it's solely on LeBron James as to the reason why they're not in the playoffs. I think Magic Johnson has a role to play in this fact that they're not in the playoffs right now. Magic pretty much allowed for his whole team. He dangled his whole motherfucking squad, you know, come trade deadline. Like, yo, you trying to get Anthony Davis? I think the New Orleans Pelicans played a huge role in them not making the playoffs because he was like, he could offer me anything he want. I'm still not taking that shit. So I think he kind of fucked with the Lakers in a way that the New Orleans GM, who's no longer the GM. I think they fired him a few weeks after that shit. so like, I think he had a lot to do with that. I think the injuries had a lot to do with that. I think Luke Walton not really finding a lineup that he could really put into the game, have a regular rotation because he was dealing with injuries, but just having a regular rotation of guys he could kind of count on as a solid core to build around for LeBron James to keep them afloat a little bit. There's a whole lot of shit that kind of went into the fact that the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs this season. However, if you're going to get all of the fucking credit if they ass had made the playoffs, I'll be goddamn if you get none of the motherfucking credit for them not making the playoffs. This is why I said LeBron James get some of the blame. Like, you can't say it's unfair for him to be, yo, he's the face of the fucking franchise now. You know what I'm saying? Yep. The face of the franchise now is LeBron James, and they gonna be sitting at home this season. Now, I know, I just last week, I was on here saying, like, yeah, I understand the injuries and all of that shit. However, he's the face of the franchise. That franchise ain't in the playoffs. He's gonna get some of that smoke but I'm not making the playoffs. It's like, that's just, that comes with the territory of being the face of the franchise. And it's just odd to me to listen to LeBron James fans all of a sudden like, well, he don't get none of the blame because they ain't make the playoffs. No, that's bullshit, homie. He gets that.
Deservedly so. But if you want to put a Mount Rushmore of blame, that's what you got to do it in this particular situation. You got to put LeBron on there. You got to put Kuminga to an extent, a small extent. He put Magic. Magic got the biggest head out of all of them. So Magic's head gets the biggest spot on that Mount Rushmore. And then you can also probably put Walton in there as well for some of his coaching decisions, some of the ways his lineup changes and things like that. I think it all started, to be honest with you, man. If you go back, you can blame Magic extensively for the kid. What's the kid's name that's playing in Brooklyn right now? Deshaun. Was it Deshaun?
D'Angelo Russell,
yeah.
I think, man, I saw the talent. I saw him flourishing. Would he be flourishing now had he not been slighted? Because sometimes you get a chip on your shoulder, you play better. But I honestly think if they had set him down in the offseason and said, hey, look, the way you conduct yourself, man, you had this little thing on you. We're going to bounce back from this, man. This is the way you conduct yourself. You got to get better about it. I think if he had sat down, but no, he shipped him out of town. Then you brought in Lonzo Ball, which I didn't think was a good fit at all. Brought him in, and now you got him out, man. Lonzo Ball does nothing for me, man.
Here's the thing about D'Angelo Russell, though. I think with D'Angelo Russell, at that point, like, there was a whole thing about D'Angelo Russell being seen as a snitch. And I think his teammates didn't really feel like they could fuck with D'Angelo Russell in that way. I think his teammates more so forced Magic's hand and making him send him off themselves than like D'Angelo Russell actually wanting to be someplace else. Like, after that whole thing where I think it was like with Swaggy P. What's my man's name? Nick Young. Like, kind of snitching him out as far as cheating on his girl and everything else. I think that became a cancerous thing within the team dynamic. But it was like, man, I can't trust this guy, man. We can't even talk around this dude without this shit hitting social media. So they had to ship that dude out someplace else and give him a fresh start. I think that had more to do with anything else when it came to D'Angelo Russell.
I can see that, man, because, I mean, I don't like snitches either, but I would have set the whole team down, like, hey, I need y'all to be honest with me. Does anybody think we can continue on with this cat or not? I would have let them do it, air it out like that. But from what I heard, it didn't even go like that. It was just like, hey, he doesn't need to be here. The culture is bad. Let's get him out of here. I would have set everybody down. Hey, be a man. Tell me what you feel about this guy right here in front of you. Can you trust him? If not, can we get past this? If not, then we proceed and go another direction. I really thought, man,
You messed things up, man. You messed up the chemistry they had. They were trying to build something. They were still losing, but it wasn't like this, man. They getting blown out of games. I mean, games they should be at.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're looking pathetic, man. Guys giving up. LB, and I never wanted to, man, like you said last week, LBJ has done everything and then some, more than lived up to the expectations. I think Cliff said that. More than lived up to expectations, man. Oh, no, I think Walt said it too. He's more than lived up to expectations, man. And like LBJ, I've been a fan since he was in high school, man. And some of the things he does, man, it's this generation right here, man, a little soft or whatever, like the little dance and all that kind of stuff, or all that kind of stuff, putting everything on social media. Yeah, but they kids, man. I live with it. But then I look at some of this stuff and I'm like, come on, man. LB, you complaining about this and this. Stop whining, man. Get back on defense. Stop sitting there complaining. You're trying to get a blow right now on the break. Man, get back down on defense, man. Stick your man. Don't let the guy go past and look at another teammate and blame him, man.
Right.
That's what I don't like. Passing the buck. Yo, own up to it, man.
Y'all talking about the play is hard, and that's all good. But I know I speak on one particular gentleman that only one person has said this whole show, which is the dude who wears bras and panties, the coach for the Lakers. Luke, horrible decision to keep him as coach. He ain't going to be coach next year. I said that about two shows ago. Luke will not be the coach. So not only does LeBron get blamed, if you don't have any nobody leading you, as far as the coaching staff, because Luke Walton is trash, this can possibly be the outcome. So,
hey, I actually heard something a couple hours ago, man. Somebody said they put the feelers out to Jason Kidd as the incoming coach. What do y'all know about that?
I hadn't heard that. But here's what I say to that though, Cliff. Because the whole thing about Luke Walton though. I remember when LeBron James was in Miami. And they had issues with Eric Spoelstra, the way that Eric Spoelstra was coaching that team. It wasn't really gelling off rip when they had the big three down there in Miami. And Eric Spoelstra was kind of an unproven guy at that particular point in time. But what happened was Eric Spoelstra had fucking Pat Riley. Pat Riley had his back. And they had the deal. You know what I'm saying? I think that plays a big difference in the situation with the Lakers now. In the sense that Magic Johnson hasn't really been endorsing what Luke Walton has done or the way that he's run the team. And so with the players knowing that the coach doesn't necessarily have the confidence of management, that can also undercut how you operate as a coach and how you operate as a player. We're like, yo, I know this motherfucker ain't going to be here. I can do whatever the fuck it is I want to do because, you know, they're about to get rid of his ass. Just like they may get rid of me, you know. And I think that maybe plays some of a part as to some of the disarray that the Lakers finding themselves in right now.
I agree. It's easy to cut ties like that. A lot of cats look at that like they're like, you know what? Why should I put as much respect into this cat? He won't be here next year, so I'm just kind of winging it and do my thing. I need to. So I can see that. I totally see it.
So I got a poll up on the website, y'all. You can vote in this poll. If and when you get the chance over at www.beerandchickenpie.com, you go to episode 43. And on that poll, the question is, who's most responsible for the Lakers not making the playoffs? LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Luke Walton, injuries, the New Orleans Pelicans, or Lonzo Ball's business partner? Those are the questions. Those are the options you have. Over on the poll, man. So, yes, sir, man, because, you know, we heard a little bit of stuff that's going on with that. But it's time for us to get on up out of here. But, of course, before we do, y'all know what we do. It is time for our, we got to wing it, y'all.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Yo, Walt, what you winging it on tonight, fam?
Speaking of Lonzo Ball, the Lakers asked him, was the Big Baller Brand shoes part of the reason for his injuries? and he went in a roundabout way of saying, no, I'm quite comfortable with the shoes. The shoes are okay. I like that, you know, if they didn't fit right or they were hurting me, I wouldn't wear them. But I would be open to trying new shoes. Yeah, I would. You can't say the shoes are fine, man. You can't say the shoes are good and then turn around and say you're going to be open to trying new shoes. And then he goes and say, I like the Kobe's. I wear those when I work out. And then I like the LeBrons and the KD. Like, nah, man. Throw the big brawler brands in the trash, bro. It's over. We seen the article where he done parted ways with the co-founder of the Big Baller brand for stealing $1.5 million from him. The Better Business Bureau done already been up your ass. Let it go, bro. Switch shoes. Go knock on Nike Doe. Tell your daddy go knock on Nike Doe. Tell him you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry. It's cool.
Yo, Cliff, what you winging it on tonight, man?
Yeah, I'm going to wing on something good, man. Stacy, man, appreciate you coming out, dog, supporting the show. Doing all the good stuff. And guess what? I know you said you don't want your son to buy no more KD. I bet you them baller brand joints about to go on sale. You
can never. 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 No, only Nike's in this household, man.
What a buy and sell.
Support your black business, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all I got.
All right, Stays, what you winging it on tonight, brother?
Hey, man. Hey, this has been enjoyable, man. It's just, man, I love this, man. Talking with, like, level-minded cats. Cats is, like, real. Man, you know, we ain't had nothing. I met you, Span, through Bomani, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, man, this is, like, man, I can tell you, man, this is, like, refreshing, man, to see with some fellow heads like myself. Man, I'm looking forward. Hopefully, I can get back on here again sometime soon with y'all cats, man, because this has been great, man, just sitting here having a sip. Chilling like my boys, like I feel like I know y'all cats, like sitting around the bar or something like that. Know what I mean?
Indeed, but we can definitely make that happen.
Indeed, exactly. We can definitely make it happen, man. I always support you, cats.
I appreciate it, man.
Is a bunch of different things, man. The Kobe LeBron debate. I'm sick and tired of hearing it, man. Two different styles of play, whatever, man. Let that slide, man. These players, specifically NBA players, man, sharing the women, man. Come on, man. It's like three women for every male. Come on, son. Man, you ain't had to be out here sharing women, man. You know, you see the headlights on the horns on the helmet, man. Like, the gold niggas coming from way up. Man, how your runner do something for you, man? You got all these different chicks that got the stories like the Kardashians. How do they still keep getting play? And not to mention, you haven't scenes with these chicks, man. You haven't scenes with them. Man, I used to, man, granted, I ain't no Don Juan or nothing like that, man. I mean, I had my days with the ladies, man, but I'm not a Don Juan. But, man, still, I knew the game. I knew how to, like, recognize red flags and things like that, man. You stay away. I don't care how good some chick look. You know what I'm saying? And I hate calling them chicks, but those girls are, like, what do you call chicks? Man, seriously, like that. That's pretty much it, man. I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of seeing cats getting gold digged, man, something like that, man, and getting played, man.
Well, tell them why you mad, son. Tell them why you mad, son.
I'm mad because I haven't seen this cat wasting money, man, because he got you for 18 years minimum.
Hey, Stacy, here you go, babe.
Oh, yeah.
Get
that groove on, boy.
All right, man. So, I'm winging it on Kobe Bryant tonight, man. And the reason why I'm winging it on Kobe Bryant, man, he did an interview with ESPN earlier this week, and they kind of got to talking about the whole GOAT debate. Kobe Bryant says he doesn't really care, right? As a matter of fact, we're going to read a little bit from it. It says, Kobe has, of course, heard it all about how he stacks up against Michael Jordan and LeBron James, but he feels no need to measure his own Hall of Fame career against anyone else's. It says, it's hard for people to believe, but I really don't care, Bryant said. I've moved on. You have a career. You do the best you can for 20 years. I was fortunate to play then, and you shelve it. You're done. You move on to the next thing. Now I'm focused on these next 20 years. Those debates are entertaining. I'm sure it's fun for people to engage on those, but for me personally, it doesn't matter. The best way to explain it is I typically do not engage in these things that I cannot definitely win. So check this out. Yeah, man. The reason your ass don't care is because you know your ass ain't really in the conversation. If Kobe Bryant knew that he would really be in the conversation for GOAT. He'd be all like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that competitor, Kobe's a motherfucking competitor, dog. We all know this, man. Like, we saw his competitor drive from high school on up. That dude wanted to be the best. He came short of it. Came short of it. He got damn close. Came short of it. LeBron James was closer to it than he is, right? Kobe Bryant doesn't care because he knows his ass ain't in the debate. He ain't even top five. Like, not even in the top five. Like, and I know it's a whole bunch of Kobe fans right now that's listening to the sound of my voice, and they probably motherfucking set. They up.
We about to lose half our audience.
No, we ain't. Half our audience ain't motherfucking Kobe stan. Stop it, nigga. But check this out, man. The man ain't even in the top five, man. Ain't even top five. The reason why he don't care, because he knows his ass ain't in the conversation. And that's what I'm winging it on tonight. Kobe Bryant. You cool?
Fuck them stands. Fuck them stands. Fuck all them stands. I'll fight every one of them.
You cool and all, Cole, but you ain't in that GOAT conversation, man. Not even top five. But that's what I'm winging it on. Well, it's time for us
now to go make up. Now go make up with Jelly Bean.
It's time for us to roll on up out of here. But of course, before we do, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll replay them on the show and we'll respond in kind. And if you're watching the show live with us, man, you can call that hotline and chop it up with us on the show. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, we'll read those emails here and reply to those emails here live on the show. Visit our website, www.beerandchickenpod.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls over there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, y'all know we appreciate every dime over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast. And leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. Those 5-star reviews really does help the show grow. It's one way to put down for the show. It doesn't cost you a dime, just 2 minutes of your time. Let people know why you're rocking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast Network. And yeah, we about to get on up out of here, but we're gonna let the homeboy DJ Neff spin us out. Do that shit, man.
Yo, once again, shout out to Mike Trout.
Living room flow, play Nintendo, it's seasonino. Pick up my phone, say I'm not home.
Get out.
I get it.
I get it.
Yeah. I run New York.
I get it.
And we out. We'll talk to y'all again next week. Peace out, fam.
Peace.
Peace. One love, baby.